Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
It's such a privilege to be here with you. I'd like to thank the Amen organization, Dr. John Chung, my college friend, and Dr. Mills. And he told me that I'm the last speaker, so I don't have any time constraints. Well, tonight, I'm so touched to be here, and just being here for the last 24 hours, I've heard so many stories about God, how God has led all of you in your lives. So what I'm going to share tonight is about how God has led my life from birth. And He has brought me to serve in a capacity that I never dreamed of as a child. And He continues to lead me. I feel like I'm just walking through life, not knowing the future, but I can be safe and secure knowing that there is someone that's much greater than me, the creator of the universe that's leading me throughout this time. Now, I was born in Youngberg Memorial Hospital, and I met a couple outside one of the attendant booth, Elder Youngberg, and his wife. And this hospital was named in honor of his uncle. And this hospital was set up some 60, 70 years ago in Singapore. It is a Seventh-day Adventist mission hospital, and it flourished really well in the 50s because Singapore was just a small colony at the time. There were a lot of medical missionaries there. So I was born in this hospital, and I can consider myself a third-generation Seventh-day Adventist. Missionaries started to arrive in Singapore in the early 1900s. My home church is the Chinese SDA Church in Thompson Road, which was started in 1957. And they just celebrated their 50th anniversary about 2 years ago. My grandparents were poor immigrants who immigrated from China to Malaysia and subsequently to Singapore. My grandparents took my father and his five other siblings to look for a place to rent at the time in Singapore. They were fortunate to find a kind elderly gentleman who happens to be a recently converted Adventist who attended this church. He happened to have an extra room for my father's family, and so my father and my grandfather and his wife and the children move in to this small apartment. At that time, Pastor Jerry Chang, this pastor here, he was the pioneer pastor of the church, and he was very active in the outreach program of the church. So he would visit this newly converted member and naturally brought the message of the Adventist Church to my family. And my mother was dating my father at the time, and she was offered a job at the Sanyu Chinese Secondary School. She thought that she was going to just work there for a short period of time, but she ended up teaching there for 25 years, the next 25 years. Through the untiring efforts of this pastor and his church members, my whole family was converted, and the salvation was brought to my family. This picture was taken 2 years ago, so this pastor has retired, but he still looks very young. My mother had to learn the Adventist lifestyle like every new convert. She has to give up pork, shrimp, crab, oyster, and all the unclean food that is commonly found in the Chinese diet. She has to go against her family's tradition of ancestor worship, idol worship, and she has to start keeping the Sabbath. My mother is a very good cook. Over the years, she has trained my taste buds to be very sensitive to good food. And she prepared a lot of delicious food for us when I was growing up. Since we couldn't eat all the unclean animals, she made sure we had all the clean meat that was available. And she gave me my name, Daniel, from the Old Testament, and also gave me a Chinese name, named after a famous Chinese physician. She was hopeful that I would one day be a doctor. However, when I was growing up, that was the last thing on my mind. I did not want to be a doctor. Although my mother taught in an SDA school, she sent me to a Catholic Chinese school because she believed that the educational standards were higher in that school. I learned Chinese, the Chinese language there is my first language. And my mother kept the Sabbath and taught me how to keep the Sabbath also. She made sure that I would not attend any classes or any exams, although I was in a Catholic school. She would bring my pastor to the school if there were any conflicts in schedule. Not knowingly that by doing so, my faith was tested from a very, very young age. I came to realize that I was different from the people that was growing up from me. For example, I was invited to my neighbor's house for a meal, and they had served fish. And I find myself asking them, is there any scales on your fish by any chance? I was trained from young to believe that this church that I attend is the one true church of God, the remnant church. And in Singapore, we're exposed to many different kinds of religion, including Buddhism, Taoism, Muslims, Hinduism, Catholicism, and many other Chinese, Sunday Christians, I mean. So I felt very fortunate that I was born into a family that believed in the true God who made the world. And I often wonder, I always have this doubt at the back of my mind, was I that fortunate to be chosen, to be born into a family that believed in a true God? School was really difficult when I was growing up in Singapore. As some of you may have been to Singapore, it's an authoritarian type of a government. We have a form of democracy, a little different from this country, but we're not communists. In fact, Singapore is very anti-communist in the 60s and 70s. My faith continued to grow as a result of experiencing God in my prayers, and also through learning about God in Sabbath school. Throughout my childhood years, certain behaviors were strongly indoctrinated into my mind. Keeping the Sabbath and not eating unclean meat was among the top of the list. And then my parents sent me to Pacific Union College when I turned 16. At this time, it was a really refreshing experience. You see that I was in a British system before, and I did well in every subject, all the science subjects, except the English language. In fact, I failed my English language in my O-level examinations. Because I was going to a Chinese school earlier, and I just couldn't read those literature books very well. So if I would have remained in Singapore, I would have to take a lot of classes, to remedial classes, so I could go on. But fortunately, I was able to be accepted to PUC, and God helped me to clear that one hurdle that I did not have to take remedial classes. So instead, I came over here to learn American English, which is much easier. In this place, I continued to experience God, and the most wonderful thing happened to me very soon after arriving this church, because I met my wife now, who is here with me tonight in PUC, and we had a wonderful experience there, and we also had a Chinese club that frequently visited the Chinese church in San Francisco. And we often go down to this church there, and I learn how the pastor was serving his community. And to my surprise, the pastor who was pastoring this church is Pastor Jerry Chang. And I have not met him before, because when he converted my family, that was when, you know, before I was born. And then he since left and came to the States, and now he's the pastor there. So I had many opportunities to brush up and continue to further my Chinese language ability by translating for him. Because Chinese churches in America has to be bilingual, because we have to cater to the younger generation who doesn't speak much Chinese and the older generation who only speaks Chinese. So services were in a bilingual format. So in those days, I was trained to translate in an instant and continues to brush up my Chinese, especially biblical Chinese, which I later found to be very useful. And throughout this time in PUC, I really did not like the idea of becoming a doctor, but my mother was the more dominant parent, and she kept insisting, as many Asian parents do to their children. And at this time, I met John, Mark is also here, Wahashi, and many other friends. And what I found interesting was that almost everyone were a pre-med or pre-dent at the time in their freshman year. So peer pressure was pretty strong to become a pre-med as well. But I liked what my father did. He was a real estate developer. I always wanted to be like my father. My mother kept pestering me. So at the end, I graduated with a business degree and with a pre-med, and I was fortunate to be accepted to medical school in Loma Linda as well. So at this time, up to this time, my life was a smooth sail. I was young. I was 20 years old. I graduated from college, bound for medical school, and had a girlfriend that's very steady for 4 years. And it was at this time the biggest trial was of my life was about to come upon me. You see, as a Singaporean, we are obligated to serve in the National Military Service for 2.5 years. I have deferred this obligation for the time when I was in college in PUC. But now it is time for me to return to Singapore, to depart from this beautiful place called Angwin back to Singapore, the Singapore military. I would compare the experience like falling from heaven into hell. Descent into hell, written by Charles Williams, who described that process. See, I was thrown in boot camp right away, and in the military, they use humiliation, intimidation, coercion, and other near-torture techniques to obtain absolute obedience. It was like a brainwashing experience for me. It was here that I came closest to experiencing persecution in my life. And on top of that, I entered the military with a SDA status. What does it mean? See, our government claimed that they provide religious freedom to our citizens to a certain extent. And since this military is forced upon its citizens, so they were lenient enough to allow certain groups of religions, believers, to have certain privileges if we could be certified a true SDA. To be certified a true SDA, your pastor has to write a letter stating that your parents pay tithe, you don't dance, you don't smoke, you don't watch movies, and you don't eat certain meat, and go on and on. They have a whole list. I don't know where they got the list, but my pastor was able to certify that I was a good SDA in good standing. So I was allowed to be excused from working on the Sabbath, and I was also allowed to be excused from carrying a real weapon. So I carried a wooden rifle. So obviously I was a laughingstock throughout this whole time, and I had to defend my faith through this humiliation, and they were hard, and But this whole experience taught me to rely on God. If you want to see a clearer picture of me, that person in the top row, number five, that's me. My last bit of pride was completely erased as I look into the mirror to see my haircut. That was a totally humiliating experience. Before this military experience, I was hesitant about going to medical school, even though I was accepted. But I found that in the military, there was a special ruling to encourage the training of physicians in the country. So they said that if any of the servicemen who are accepted to medical school could defer the remaining year and a half of service until they finish medical school. So I jumped at that opportunity and went to medical school. At that time, Psalm 23 came to mind all the time because I felt like I was walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and I prayed to God to protect me all the time. And also recall John 14, wanted Jesus to come and pick me home right away. Until I got the opportunity to go to Loma Linda, and that changed. So back to Loma Linda, I was so refreshed to breathe this air of freedom, true democracy. But 4 weeks into medical school, I was regretting that decision. I was drowning in anatomy, histology, and worst of all, embryology. It was sure torture again. I thought the army was bad. But this was like trying to drink out of a fire hydrant. So I had to pray again. Say, God, help me. Help me, help me. And you've brought me this far. I can't quit now. Otherwise, I'm going to go back to the military. So I was stuck, and I have to go on. But the Lord was good. He brought me through, and I was able to graduate. I survived. But after we finished medical school, then it was time to go back to the military again, but that's only for a year and a half. And it would be much easier, I thought, because I would be a doctor now, and I would be a captain, and I would be walking around, bossing other people around. But it didn't happen that way. Before I went back to the military, I was fortunate that I proposed, and my wife decided to agree to marry me, and I was able to convince her father, who is he's sort of an atheist, but he has a Buddhist background and ancestral worship, and he was initially against our marriage, but since I was a doctor, he said it was okay, and he was willing to participate in our wedding, and we were very grateful. And over the years, I was able to continue to provide free medical advice for him. Now he's thinking I'm more valuable than he thought. And to give counsels to his other daughters, my sister-in-laws. It is important how God leads us. And my wife also became an Adventist during this time, baptized into the church. And so as we return home to Singapore, I discovered that my beloved grandmother was very, very ill at this time. My grandmother also influenced my life a lot because she has such a strong and simple faith. And she's one of the kindest and loving person that I knew. And she looked forward to the Sabbath every day. Right before she died, she told my father to not cover her entire gravestone with marble. She told my father to make sure there was a hole in the middle, because when Jesus comes, she wants to get out of there. And she was so sure that she was going to get out of there. And she also asked my father to have three little angels right next to it. I was very touched with her faith. and was blessed by this, and I remembered her. So then I went back to the military for my remaining year and a half, and to my surprise, because I'm still in SDA, and they said, since you still don't want to carry a weapon and you don't want to work on Sabbath, we're not going to promote you to a captain. You're going to just stay as a corporal, and you're going to be a medic in the military. And initially, I was just totally devastated. But I took a stand. I took a stand to follow after God's law rather than man's law. And later I found out that the military officer who made that decision was also a Christian, but he did not believe in the Sabbath. He was trying to test to see if I would stick to what I believe. And after I did, he was kind of sorry, because everybody else was promoted to a captain, and I was the only MD in the whole single military that was not a captain. But later on, he recruited me into the medical headquarters to be a researcher, and I was able to help in medical research in the single military. I did two research studies and published two papers on the controlled trial of acyclovir in the treatment of chickenpox among servicemen, and the other was the effect of exercise, or actually boot camp, on the metabolism of obese recruits. And that earned me some credentials later on to getting into a good residency program. So, but through this experience, the other doctors who are Christians were very interested in what I did, what I chose to do. And they were interested about my beliefs about the Sabbath and the Levitical classification of clean and unclean animals. So I was able to give away many copies of Desire of Ages and a great controversy to many of my Christian doctor friends in the military. Being an SDA, it is from birth, it is kind of difficult to pinpoint a specific moment as my conversion experience that I hear so often in other people who are not SDA by birth. I always have been always fascinated with the many mission stories of other people's conversion experience. If I had to name my born-again experience, it was during this time. My wife and I, we attended a Bible camp meeting in Malaysia, was organized by Dr. Colin and Russell Standish. They presented the three angels' message in such a powerful way for the very first time in my life that I understood the 2300 days prophecy and the meaning of becoming a remnant people of God. It was this excitement coupled with a little bit of adversity and humiliation that I was facing in the military that I solidified my faith in Jesus. I was so touched with this newfound truth in Daniel 8:14, how the angel Gabriel came to inspire Daniel, that I named my son Gabriel. And after this 18 months of service has passed, I called Dr. Slater at Loma Linda University Radiation Oncology Department, because I've applied to a residency position in radiation oncology. And he told me that I was ranked number 3 on their list of 2 candidates for the incoming residency training program. I prayed to God before I called him and asked God to show me where I need to go from this point. And if this was not the right place for me, he would close the door. Sure enough, God's very good at closing doors. And he closed this one good. And he says that usually there are not too many people that apply for this residency because it's such obscure, you know, physics-minded. But that year, for some reason, he had so many graduates from Harvard, Stanford, that he took a Harvard graduate over one of his own Loma Linda graduate. He was sort of apologetic. But I thought it probably had something to do with that new proton accelerator that he had. So anyway, I was fortunate to call Dr. Larry Liu our program director in the internal medicine department, he was very gracious and willing to take me back to the internal medicine department to allow me to finish my PGY2 and PGY3. I know that they always do need internists. So the day came for me to leave the military. It's called the ROD date, which stands for run out date. I was elated, and I felt that I'd never have to do this again. I felt so good that I went on a tour with my parents to China for the very first time in my life. I was immediately impressed with the vast number of people and the sights of the interesting mix of ancient relics and strange communist propaganda all over the place. It is as if a part of it is so familiar to my culture growing up in Singapore, being a Chinese in heritage, yet another part of it is so foreign, the communist, atheistic part. The sight of the people really touched my heart because I've never seen so many Chinese people in my life, although I'm a Chinese. It is like a lost child that has finally returned home and found his roots. I was tempted to kiss the ground when I went to Tiananmen Square, but I couldn't do that because it was too dirty. Then I was taken to the beautiful city of Hangzhou, which has been compared to heaven on earth by Chinese poets for centuries. And here is the newly built state-of-the-art Sir Run Run Shaw Hospital. And this was going to be a project of Loma Linda University and the World Church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I later learned that the SDA Church has finally returned to China in a semi-official capacity after an absence of 45 years since the communists, quote-unquote, liberated China and sent all our missionaries packing to other parts of Taiwan, Hong Kong, Macau, and Southeast Asia. Those missionaries who remain in China included Pastor David Lin, who was persecuted and sent to labor camp for many, many years. I was immediately fascinated by the prospect of one day being able to serve the Chinese people right here in an institution run by the Adventist Church. I also learned that prior to 1949, our church had a vibrant mission, including schools, churches, and 18 sanitarians in different parts of China. The most remembered missionary physician was Dr. Harry Miller, known as the China Doctor. You see, back in those days, in the early 1900s, Dr. Miller and his wife has to travel by an ocean liner across the Pacific Ocean to China. And after he got there, he was so sick and nauseated, he was dizzy for several weeks. And you could read more about his story in the book called The China Doctor. And I look at the story and it says, could I, a Singaporean Chinese, a third generation Adventist, be a missionary physician too? And that was the first time this thought came to my mind. I believe the Lord has planted this idea in my mind at this time. But I had two more years of residency to complete. So I returned to Loma Linda and finished those 2 years of residency. At that time, they have not passed the anti-slavery laws by Congress. So residents still have to work 80, 90 hours, sometimes on call, every fourth day, 36-hour shifts. So after 2 years, I was very disillusioned, overworked, and felt really tired. And I sort of forgot about my dream about a missionary physician. I was offered a job at HMO Group in Riverside, which I would see 30 patients a day for a decent salary. It didn't sound very appealing to me for some reason. I was fortunate that I only had a very small tuition loan to pay back, thanks to my parents, my father. And I heard that Yongbert Memorial Hospital in Singapore at this time was looking for physicians. And this hospital has been smaller, has become smaller and smaller over the years because of the lack of a continued supply of missionary physicians. And the rest of Singapore has developed in tremendous ways over the last 30, 40 years. And the medical standards in Singapore is so advanced that this little missionary hospital was not going to survive anymore. But I thought I would give it a try. Besides, I could go back home to be with my parents, and they could help take care of my children. And that was the main attraction for me. But at this time, the project in Renrenche Hospital was beginning to take place. And the faculty in the internal medicine department at Loma Linda was invited to help start the training of residents in China. Some of my attendings were in China for 2 weeks to 4 weeks at a time. They would come back with these exciting stories. They said that, oh, if you could stand the cold shower, you'll be okay. And, you know, students there, residents there, really eager to learn. So it was a really good experience for them. So I told my wife that on our way to Singapore, maybe we could stop by China for 3 months just to get a taste of how it is to be in China. Now, my wife has not been to China before, although she was born in Hong Kong. Hong Kong wasn't part of China yet at that time. Here in Sir Renrenche Hospital, I found Dr. Gordon Hatley, the former dean of medical school at Loma Linda University. He was made the president of a Chinese hospital, and he did not speak a word of Chinese. In fact, he was the dean who accepted me into medical school in 1986, but I've not really met him until now because he left immediately when we started school. He was about 78, and he looked vibrant, young, and exemplified what, in my mind, an Adventist missionary physician should be. He never compromised on his beliefs. He made them known to his Chinese counterparts, who were communists. He was kind, he was gentle, and he was very practical. The Renrenche Hospital concept started when a Hong Kong philanthropist by the name of Mr. Shaw, his name is Run Run, he wanted to establish a first-class hospital in his native land of China. And he wanted the Adventists to run it. The reason he wanted the Adventists to run it is because he has his family, perhaps his mother, has been treated many, many years ago by our pioneer missionary, Dr. Harry Miller. And so all these things are beginning to come to my mind at this time. So the church initially was a little hesitant, but this was the one opportunity that the church could officially be in China because the communist government did not allow us to organize any church. And they are going to build a world-class tertiary hospital in conjunction with the local medical school, the Zhejiang University, together with Loma Linda University. And Loma Linda University will have 5 years of administrative powers to send doctors to organize the hospital, supposedly to have the power to hire and to fire. But later on, we found out that we do not have that power, and the Chinese had this very archaic form of employment. Basically, everybody is employed and nobody could be fired. This is the so-called the iron rice bowl concept. So it was hard for Dr. Hatley, who did not speak any Chinese at all. It was during this 3 months that my whole life changed. I immediately got involved in many aspects of the hospital. And I quickly discovered why I wasn't allowed to be a radiation oncologist, and instead I was an internist. And because there was 8 subdivisions of internal medicine there, and there was many residents, 60 or so residents in the hospital. And I taught the residents, and I treated many patients. I sat on committees, and I served as translator for the American team of physicians and nurses. Together, we were able to build up the hospital's reputation as a clean and oriented place for care. I then recalled in my early days in medical school that sometimes I was bored. I went to the library and I read about the history of Loma Linda and how it all started. And what Ellen White said, Loma Linda is to be not only a sanitarium, but an educational center. With the possession of this place comes the weighty responsibility of making the work of the institution educational in character. A school is to be established here for the training of gospel medical missionary evangelists. Much is involved in this work, and it is very essential that a right beginning be made. So I'm beginning to recall these things that I've learned, and I suddenly felt a sense, a strong sense that this is it. This is God's calling me to be here. And I look back into my life, all this time, without me knowing, the Lord has prepared me to be able to speak the Chinese language, to train to be a doctor, to be an internist, to be right here. And in addition, he would require our entire family to surrender to him, to be here together. Because, you know, when men wants to do something, he can't, sometimes, many times, he can't do it unless his wife was willing as well. But Selena was not as convinced as I was. I was trying to convince her. I said, this is it. This is what God has called us to do. But she said, what about our children? They're so young. And what about this going back to Singapore and having our parents taking care of the children and having all this help? And now we have exchanged the comfort of Loma Linda you know, for this. How are we going to survive? We're totally unprepared to be here. God is good. God continued to work on us. And I came to a point that I had to tell my wife, I said, I can't go to this place by myself. You have to be convinced that God has called both of us to be here before we can go together. And I promised that I would not bug her for the next 1 month about going to China, staying in China for longer. But I did not keep the promise very well because I was so excited. I was just bugging her day and night. And finally, she had to pray a prayer of submission. She felt that she could no longer pray to God in a peaceful way if she didn't accept this calling. So we spent the next 3.5 years in Run Run Cha Hospital, and it turned out to be the most exciting part of our life. And I was made acting chief of internal medicine right away, and there were many exciting residents. Since I became the permanent internal medicine representative, the attendings and the faculty in Loma Linda felt, wish we didn't have to go to China anymore. Daniel Chu is there. So they would occasionally give me a call and come and write me a few letters. But I was basically there for the whole time. Except for Dr. Rosenquist, who was in this picture. He was a retired endocrinologist, and he would come several months a year to help us. And it was a fantastic experience that we had. We had to work with the local the church doctors, and some of the duties I had to do was to conduct morning conferences around in the hospital, attend meetings, establish infection control, restricting the overuse of antibiotics, standardize the IV room, TPN preparation, chemo preparation, and teach English, medical terminology. And the most exciting thing I did was to conduct a 5-day plan to stop smoking because of this gentleman, Dr. McFarlane, who started the 5-day plan. And I discovered that when I was there. He came over to China, and together we conducted several sessions. And today, a 5-day plan, stop smoking, is a public outreach program of the hospital there in China. And the children were allowed to put up plays because we were not allowed to openly proselytize in communist China. So we thought of these little schemes for the children to dress up during Christmas time to play the nativity scene and attracted many interested Chinese physicians and nurses to come and watch, and some of the children also participated. And so since Western influence was beginning to take hold in China, and they allow us to perform skits like that, and through that we passed on a message of Jesus Christ to them. And there is a three-self church very close by. In China, the government allow religion in a very restricted way. Christians can practice their religious belief only in designated churches, and this is one of them. And it is a jointly shared church between all the Christian denominations. So the Adventists are considered one of the denomination of Christianity. The only odd thing is that the Adventists worship on the on Sabbath, and on Sunday they would have like 5 or 6 times more believers. For some reason, that church, our pastor and the Sunday church pastor didn't get along very well. So on Sabbath, they would keep the main gate closed just to prevent passerbys from accidentally going to the church on the wrong day of church. So we had to walk on the side, side door, and it says, "Welcome, we are worshiping now. Please go by the side door," which was fine. We had this little persecutory complex there. We kind of felt that the Adventists are being persecuted not only by the communists, but also by the Sunday church Christians. But the church there actually was flourishing pretty well. We were able to participate, and I continue to translate for the church there. My two children went to school there, and we were initially a little worried because the teachers were communists, but they learn good Chinese, and they were able to learn the Chinese culture that was not provided in America. So they were very fortunate in that sense. My wife was struggling, and she prayed to God one day that God would show her her calling. And she says that, "I'm not a good person to witness to other people, but if you want me to be a witness here in China, please send someone to me." Almost immediately after she made that prayer, when she was in the specialist apartment, a lady came knocking on the door. She happens to be the supervisor of the apartment that we were living in. She's a young Chinese lady who has been working in the hospital. She's communist, and she was at odds with Mrs. Hadley, Dr. Hadley's wife, on the standard of cleanliness. Of course, Mrs. Hadley, being from Loma Linda, was very particular about everything and how everything needs to be neat and clean and well taken care of. But Nancy, the supervisor, grew up in a different environment. So she was always arguing and being very insubordinate to Mrs. Hadley, and plus they don't speak very well to each other because of the communication barrier. But Nancy came up to our apartment, knocked on the door, and saw Selena there, and she came and asked Selena about her religion. And this was just soon after Selena's prayer. And so Selena sat down and spoke to her and shared with her, opened the Bible, and taught her about Jesus. And this lady was very, very interested. And she became so interested that she came to church the next Sabbath. And on the next Sabbath, she was singing in the choir. And to Mrs. Hadley's surprise, when she returned from Loma Linda, she was on a short break, she said that she went into church and saw Nancy in the choir, and she was just totally shocked. And Dr. Hadley later commented that with all these troubles that we're having initially, and if it was just for this one soul, it was all well worth it. And later on, there was more people, because Nancy became a missionary to the people around her in the hospital, and she began to preach. She was much more efficient in bringing the message to others. As she continued to grow and subsequently baptized into the church, she became a very powerful leader. Just last year, 10 years later, when we returned, we found Nancy there. The individual, the one on the left, the first row, second left, and the lady on Doris, we found that she became one of the church leaders now, and she's bringing more and more and more people to church and spreading the gospel. So we continue to serve the Lord in this capacity and have made many, many friends. And it was like a dream job come true for me. About 1 year later, they needed a financial person at the hospital administration because there was some communication problem between Loma Linda, Hong Kong, and the Chinese side. And Selena was called to be that financial person. And she actually, they promoted her to be the vice president for finance. She had CPA background before, and she has a master's degree from USC, so she was serving the hospital in an unexpected way also. She did not expect it to be called to do this work. In fact, she was so involved in the work at the time when we were leaving, the Chinese were telling us, says, "Dr. Chu, you can go, but you have to leave your wife behind." It was the most remarkable experience for both of us, how God has called both of us to serve in this capacity. And as we look back in this experience, we were amazed at how God has planned our lives many, many years before, even before we met each other. And the one interesting thing is that Selena grew up in Hong Kong. And in Hong Kong, people speak Cantonese. She was sent to the only Mandarin-speaking school in Hong Kong by her parents at the time. And she was able to learn Mandarin. And you may not appreciate this. The Mandarin dialect and the Cantonese dialect is very different. It is so different that the local Chinese in Run Run Chow Hospital could understand English better than Cantonese. And so when we were sitting on hospital boards, when my wife would be the vice president, I'm chief of medicine, and if we had something that we wanted to communicate and we did not want the Chinese to know, we would speak in Cantonese. But we would do running translations for Dr. Hadley and the rest of the team. And so we served together in a most remarkable way, and we thank the Lord for finally showing us this vision and why his purpose for us. There was a group of permanent workers there that was there, and during this time I had the opportunity to visit many other churches in China as well. And China is on the rise today. They hold a lot of our treasury, U.S. government debt. They are competing with the U.S. in every aspect on trade, diplomacy, military strength, and global resources like oil, water, and precious metals. They claim to have some religious freedom. It is estimated that we do have 400,000 Adventists in China, in local congregations. They're not organized into unions or conference because they're not allowed to. And I visited this one church that was so humble, so poor, but yet loves the Lord so much. And one of the distinguished features of an Adventist church is that no matter where you go, you would see the Ten Commandments plastered in the front wall. These are the group of the worshipers there, many women and children. And this is a nicer, newer church. And when we're in China, we hire a babysitter, and she became an Adventist also by getting baptized. And this is the local church in next to the hospital, and their baptism ceremonies was in a grand scale because they only hold it once a year, so they would save up everybody. And in China, many times they would have to study the Bible, the doctrines of the church, for one whole year before they would be considered candidates for baptism. And in Shanghai, in some places I heard, they have even have to take a test. They have to pass the test before they can be baptized. And this image here is the most precious image. I brought my children and the other children in the front. I want to make sure that they etch this image into their mind, because this is what we are about. Because God called us to go out and to preach His gospel. And these are some of the ladies who are, I think they're from the hospital. They were baptized, and slowly over the years, and this is the whole baptismal class of that year for that church. And we were very touched, because there are just so many people in China, and you see the numbers that we see there are just much more exciting than in here in the U.S. And the little children would sit at the back of the church and have Sabbath school, because there wasn't a place for children, because children were not allowed to be in church for the first place, actually, because there's a law in China that prevents proselytizing to children before they turn 18. But these are American children, so it's okay. So they had the little Sabbath school in the staircase there. And during this time, the heart team from Loma Linda came, and Dr. Joan Cogging led the team. And the heart team was able to operate on many patients during this two-week period. And the locals were very, very grateful for the expertise, and they would give banners. And my good friend, Dr. Nan Wang, who is a cardiothoracic surgeon, he's Chinese also, he speaks some Chinese, I was able to recruit him to come over to perform heart surgeries for several occasions. And he took a picture, we made him take a picture like that. All these are his patients that he operated on. Some of them are valves and some bypass operations. He did all those patients in about five days. He was running two cases a day. And we asked him to take a picture like how Dr. Leonard Bailey would do to all his little infant babies that's hanging on the wall in Loma Linda. So, and he was very happy to be part of the team that went there. So, Ranrantra Hospital has become a state-of-the-art hospital in China now at this time. And Loma Linda has a continued relationship with Loma Linda. We have continued to have exchange programs where their physicians would come to Loma Linda, and Loma Linda would still send some missionaries, doctors there, but in a limited scale. But Loma Linda's name is forever engraved in the front panel of this hospital, and people would know about us when they come into this hospital. And this hospital now has expanded from 400 beds to 1,200 because of the tremendous demand. And it is now the first and only JCI, Joint Commission International Accredited Tertiary Hospital in all of China, because of Loma Linda's support in making this institution into a high standard tertiary care center. And there is a lot of Adventist influence there still in the hospital, because there are still the workers. This is a recent trip we made just last year to visit this place again. This is Dr. Wu, a dentist. He's actually the chief of dentistry in Ramrancho Hospital. This gentleman was the first convert from the 5-day stop smoking seminar by Dr. McFarlane. Over the years, he learned and searched the truth, and finally he became an Adventist, and he was baptized in Azure Hill Church here in California. And now that he has returned, he thought that he would lose his job as the chief of dentistry because he was a communist and they are not allowed to be Christians. But strange enough, the hospital administrator did not remove him. He continues to serve as the chief of dentistry, and he told his boss that he has become an Adventist. And praise the Lord that he's continued to serve there and to make the dentistry department a department of service and care and high quality. So we were very glad to see them. And this time we have met many, many people and friends there. And this is the cath lab that is there. And this is the one church. This is not an Adventist church, but I'm just going to show you with this picture that how advanced the development has become. This church is just about 100, 200 feet away from the hospital. It was just built. It's a brand new Protestant three-self church. Unfortunately, the Adventists are not allowed to use it yet, but it is really nice and beautiful. And so Christianity is more and more becoming more and more acceptable in Chinese societies. And I now see that I have 5 minutes left. And I'm just going to switch gear really quickly and just give you a short summary of what I'm doing now. After we returned from China, I went on to finish a fellowship in cardiology. And now I'm practicing in the city of Hacienda Heights, which is located between Loma Linda and L.A. And when I return, God has called us to plant a church in this area. I was very touched, and I was able to partner with a very enthusiastic pastor who is also bilingual. And we were able to build a Chinese church here in Hacienda Heights. This afternoon, I was able to share a little bit of the experiencing of starting a church. And in 4 short years, we have prayed together, fast together, and asked the Lord for a vision to help the Chinese community in this country, because there's becoming more and more Chinese people are immigrating to this country. And we see a golden opportunity here, especially in California, to bring the message to immigrants in this country as well. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his teaching in our past history. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. Where there is no vision, the people perish. God wants to give us his vision when we are prepared for his vision, God gives it to us. And we have to understand what we're dealing with, and with a lot of commitment and hard work and organization, we could work together to serve the Lord as he calls us to. I think I ran out of time, but I would like to close at this time. And I want to challenge all of you here today to remember your calling and remember Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior, who has called us to be his missionaries. We are blessed with a tremendous blessing to be physicians and dentists and healthcare workers. And we have so much resources and talents. And the Lord is coming soon, and we know that he is. And I just want to close with a prayer with you that the Lord would bless all of us here this evening. Shall we bow our heads? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for loving us, being with us during this weekend, and showing us your love and your guidance in our lives. Lord, we are so touched by your blessings in our lives and the hardship and the challenges that you put in our lives so that we could see who you are and how you are leading us. Lord, thank you for reminding us that we cannot serve two masters and we can only serve you, who is our God. And we look forward to the day that you'll come again to take us home. Thank you, and in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
This media was produced by Audioverse for Amen, Adventist Medical Evangelism Network. If you would like to learn more about Amen, please visit www.amensda.org. Or if you would like to listen to more free online sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.